Well, let's open our Bibles this morning. Good morning? Yeah, it's still morning. To John chapter 3. I like that song, I Belong to You. My life is not my own. John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 and 18. Let's read together. It's the reading of God's word that changes us, and the entrance of his word brings light, revelation. And it's the hearing also where faith comes. So let's read together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Now let's turn over to Psalm 34. And we've been reading the first three verses, Psalm 34, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Well, are we praising him continually? Are we blessing him continually? I'm sure every one of us every day have opportunities to bless him or not, or complain or gripe and fuss about things that aren't going the way we think they should. And there was a scripture verse that I read from the Living Letters translation. It's a paraphrased translation. In Proverbs 15:4, it says, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. And so when we gripe, and also in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, it says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now we're talking about griping and grumbling and complaining. The modern translations of 1 Corinthians 10:10 say, and do not grumble. This is the New International Version. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. I like the Message translation. It says, we must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontents destroyed them. So we spent a number of lessons talking about praise and thanksgiving, and we started to talk about worship. We spent a lesson or so on worship. And we also, in those lessons, talked about Proverbs 18. 20 and 21, about death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And when you look at that, when we start to gripe and complain and we're discontented, we're not releasing words of life. We're really releasing words of death. And you open the door. See, this says here, they were destroyed of the destroying angel, or they were destroyed of the destroyer. And it says in the Message, discontent destroyed them. Yeah, That's right, it sure did. You opened the door to your adversary. So even though you may not want to bless the Lord, you get up and it's one of those days. You need to think about what is it that's going to come out of your mouth. It's not what you think. Now, yes, it does say, as a man thinketh, so is he. But thinketh means you continue to think on something like that and you're going to release some words. It's what comes out of your mouth that begins to put some things, put some laws in motion. And those are the things that you're either on God's side or the devil's side. And we need to think about that before we want to just ramble with some grumbling and complaining. And we've all been there. We've all had those kind of days. And we've had days where we just wanted to kick something, hit something, fuss at somebody about what's going on. But you need to think first. And one thing, what happens when I say think first? Let me back up and say this. What you continually think on is what you're going to store up down in your heart. And when the pressure's on, you don't really think. It's just a reaction. You're going to react, and what's been put in is what's going to come out. So, you know, it's nice to say, well, if it gets tough, I'm going to think. No, you don't. It just comes out. Pressure, boom. Pastor Sarah always used to use the example, which was a good Holy Ghost example. What happens? What do you have in a toothpaste tube? What should come out when you squeeze it? Toothpaste. Well, what should come out of us when we're squeezed? Praise and blessing and the Word of God. That's what should come out when we're squeezed. But if we're not meditating on that, if we're not thinking on godly spiritual things, then what's going to come out is whatever we've been meditating on, which would be, can be, carnal things. And those kind of things, if we're thinking about carnal things all the time and meditating on that, then that's what's going to come out. That's just the way it is. So, you know, and I'm beginning to observe some things that when folks go through issues and they say, you know, I'm tired and I'm just having a hard time all the time, and I've lost my joy, and I have no spunk, I got no joy in this walk, I'm going to start asking the question, what are you meditating on? What are you thinking on? Are you thinking on spiritual things? Or are you thinking constantly on carnal things? And carnal things means the things that we're going through, fleshly carnal things, the problems. If that's all you're meditating on, then as we shared in prior lessons, then that looks so big and God looks so small. But God is great. He's bigger. He's greater. He's more powerful than the devil and any kind of thing that you could run into. So that isn't the lesson today, but you just keep hooked up, because I'm trying to get out here what the Holy Ghost has put in. What I wanted to pick up today with is let's turn over, if we can, to John, and this is really where I wanted to pick up. Keep your finger. We were in John. Go to John 4. We started over here, but we didn't really finish. I heard a couple of things in my spirit over the last few days, and I'm going to attempt to wrap it around a couple of different approaches here. Keep your finger in John 4 and go back to Psalm 95. Just want to look at a few scriptures there before we go over to John 4. Psalm 95. And I want to look at the first few verses. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence. Not a good, that's the thing that got me. His presence with thanksgiving and make a sad noise, joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a what God? A great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and do what? Bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord. That's worship right there. Our Maker. For He is our God and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, and what does it say? Harden not your heart. As in the provocation. But look at verse 2. It says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So with our thanksgiving, we come right into His very presence with thanksgiving and a joyful noise. And I always like to say this, worship is not a slow song, and worship is not it can be a slow song, but is not a sad song. And worship, we know that. We've been around here too long. Worship can be a slow song and can be a joyful song. I like joyful. But then there's sometimes a slow type song is what the Holy Ghost is prompting us to do and listen to. So go there and so we are to worship here, worship or coming into His presence. We're to come in with thanksgiving and a joyful noise. Doesn't say anything here about whether we feel like it. It just says to come in. And one of the things that I have learned being around Pastor Clinton for so many years, hearing him talk, hearing him share things personally, privately, that he would always say, I'd start in the natural. What do you mean by that? You aren't feeling spiritual at that point. You start in the natural. You yield to God at that point. And through your praise, through your thanksgiving, you begin to give place for the Holy Ghost to begin to direct and lead. How? Through you. So you may start in the natural, in the flesh, but as you worship, as you praise, as you offer up thanksgiving, you come into His presence, you're doing what? Now it's spiritual. This is now you're creating a spiritual climate, a spiritual atmosphere. Now God, who is a spirit and who lives in you, is now going to operate how? Through you. Through who? Through your spirit. Through your human spirit. So God the Spirit, He is spirit, and by His spirit who lives in us, He's going to begin to operate through your spirit and then through your hands, your arms, your lips, your mouth, your eyes. He's going to operate through this flesh body by His spirit. So spiritual things are done in the sense we say spiritual things are done and operated through this flesh body, but they're not of the flesh. You understand by my statement by that? So it says in Romans, it says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace, I believe it says. It says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when you are the source of that motivation is not flesh. What did Deacon Bill read it? He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Well, that's flesh. But to trust in the Lord, that's spiritual. See, so when you're spiritual, the source, who's the source when you're spiritual? God, His Word. So when you're reading your Word and you're being directed by something in the Word, you're spiritual. And when that Word gets down in your heart and it begins to direct you through you, that's spiritual. You're in the Spirit. See, and some folks get this idea, you know, we're over here, woo, you know, we're over here, something that's in a trance or something spooky. It can be that. You could get over in the Spirit. But most of us are operating how? The other way. Every day. We're trusting in the Lord. We're being directed by the Lord. And that's spiritual. That is not flesh. Yet, it's coming through this flesh body. But when the source comes from our fleshly thinking, that's carnal. That's flesh. Does that make sense? Everybody here, or are they going home? I know he's like, I don't know. Turn the air conditioning on a little bit, and maybe folks will wake up. Deacon Tony liked that one. Okay. I mean, it's too hot in here. But let's turn back over to John 4. John 4 and verse 20. We read this in a prior lesson. John 4. Starting in verse 20, King James Version. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and we say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Well, we could say, if you do, then you're spiritually minded, is what we were mentioning in Romans chapter 8. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now I want to read this in the Living Bible. This is a paraphrase Bible. And I think it will help explain this, or it highlights it a little differently. But say, tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim? See, so they were hung up on the place where our ancestors worshipped. Jesus replied, The time is coming, ma'am, when we will no longer be concerned about whether to worship the Father here or in Jerusalem. Now listen to this. This is what is good. For it's not where we worship that counts, but how we worship. Is our worship spiritual and real? Is your worship spiritual and real? This is what the Living Bible, how it says it. Do we have the Holy Spirit's help? You know, you can't worship without the Holy Spirit's help. You can't do anything without the Holy Spirit's help. For For God is a spirit, and we must have his help to worship as we should. I like that. So it's saying here, instead of saying that the way the King James says it, that we are to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, this says, is our worship spiritual, and is it real? Is it genuine? Is it the truth? If it's real, if it's genuine, then it's the truth. You see. So the question is then, is there worship that is not true and spiritual? Well, we know that for sure, that there can be worship that's not spiritual and it's not genuine. We've seen some, experienced some, come out of settings where we've experienced some. And also, why would the Holy Ghost inspire the writer to put that in there if they were not experiencing that? But they were. And so they were experiencing things that were not spiritual and were not real. And you can see this just in the natural today. There are religions that emphasize the place of worship. They highlight that. You got to come to this place in order for the worship of that's what's important. They highlight that. And if we're not careful, you even hear it among Christian circles. We need to go over to Jerusalem to worship where Jesus worshiped. No. See, so folks can get hung up on that. I want to go over to the Sea of Galilee or the tomb. Well, you don't know if that's the tomb or not. You don't know. So it's not where, it's how. And it's by the Holy Ghost's help that we our worship is spiritual and it's genuine, it's real. It's of the Spirit. And as I was sharing before, carnal people emphasize natural things. That's all they talk about. Spiritual people think about and talk about spiritual things. And so when we say spiritual, we're talking about something that's by the Spirit's direction. And so it's we were reading in this other translation. It's real, spiritual, genuine worship is by the Spirit's help. And so we can do a lot of things, and that doesn't even just have to be in our worship. Worship, as we've talked, is our lifestyle. We can build, we can create things. If it's not by the Spirit's direction, if you create something, you go do something, and the Spirit didn't direct you to do it, it's carnal. That's all, I'm just being plain. That's what the Scripture says. If it's not by His direction, then it's carnal. And you don't have His direction. See, His direction, it's spiritual. And it'll last. See, those things that He directs, those things that He inspires us to do, will last. Because what does the Scripture say? In that day, our works are going to be done what? What are they going to do with our works? He's going to judge them. And our works are going to be judged and tried by what? Fire. And so that which is wood, hay, and stubble will get burnt up. That which is gold will do what? The last. So we want to make sure that the Holy Ghost has directed us to do something because that will last. That won't get burnt up. Now that doesn't mean you'll miss heaven, but it just means you won't get the rewards that you think you're going to get. So we want to make sure that God has directed us and He's motivating us. See, and one of the things that when you keep your mind on spiritual things, it's going to be easier to be directed by Him, because your mind won't be on carnal things all the time. Now, you're a spirit, and your, you know, again, your sensitivity can be affected to the degree of how spiritual you are. The stronger you are spiritually, you'll be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. The more carnal you are, the less sensitive that you'll be to the Holy Ghost. That's just the way it is. Because that's what the Scripture bears that out in Romans. It says to be carnally minded is what? Death. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's why when I got back, I was sharing that before. Some folks in the church, they're saying, my joy is not there. I'm just so troubled. And I have to ask the question, okay, what are you thinking on? What are you meditating on? Because if you're meditating on the problem all the time, you're carnal minded. And it's death, and it does not bring life and peace. So we need to get over into keeping our mind on this great God. We need to praise Him and bless Him and thank Him for what He's doing in our lives. See, what does the Scripture say? It's very clear in Hebrews chapter 11. I know I'm touching on a few things here, but Hebrews chapter 11, you don't have to turn there because it just came up and I'll read it. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you're going to have to praise Him in faith. You're going to have to thank Him in faith. And we're to walk by faith and not by sight. But if you're walking by sight, you're carnal. And I'm not talking about anybody here, but I'm saying if you are thinking about your problem all the time, if that's all you're meditating on, then you're yielding to something that is not of faith, and it's carnal. But to be spiritually minded, right here, you meditate in this, you're going to be spiritually minded. And He says, what? Those that are of faith, He said, he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and He's what? He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. So I'm going to seek Him even when things don't look like they're going right. Because He's a good God. And if He's directed me to go in this path, if He's authorized it, then He's obligated to bring it to pass. I don't care what I'm going through. You know, the Holy Ghost, last week I was sharing this with Pastor Greg. That's why it is so important that when you get a prophecy or a prophecy concerns you, you write that down. Write it in a book somewhere, because that's an anchor to your soul. It's an anchor. And last week, this is a prophecy that was given to Pastor Clinton years ago. He said, the people will come and the money will come. Pastor Clinton shared it. I forget what year, Pastor Sarah would know. It was prior to them going to Bible school in 1979. And so it might have been around 78, 76, somewhere in that area. But they hadn't even gone to Bible school. They weren't even thinking about going to Bible school. And Brother Copeland called them out at a meeting in Philadelphia and said, the people will come and the money will come. And he said, what people? What money? What in the heck is he talking about? But the Holy Ghost reminded me last week. He said, this is what he came, he said, the people will come and the money will come. And I said, thank you, Lord. That means this ministry, Redeeming Love Christian Center, will never, ever, 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 ever be without. Ever. It'll never be lacking. Ever. We'll always have more than enough. He said it. And if you keep your mind on that, instead, because you know what can happen? I'll tell you what happened. I started looking at the books, which we have to, and you start looking at income, and you start looking at expenses, and you go, whew, okay, glory, hallelujah, glory. And if you're not careful, if you're not keeping your mind spiritual, you'll get overthinking about income and expenses. And it was weighing on me a little bit. I wasn't burdened by it, but I was looking saying, okay, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you. And I found myself going home one day thinking about it. And I said, no. Something's not right here. And the Holy Ghost said, the people will come and the money will come. Oh, boy, I said, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. See, that's the Holy Ghost's job. Didn't say we're always going to be perfect, but he's there to say, hey, what are you doing? I said, I will bring the people and I will bring the money. That's not your job. And I was making it my job. Not my job, but you're thinking about it. That's not my job. I'm supposed to do what? Bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth, and I'm to do what? Magnify him. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And if he's spoken something, then you need to get that, write it down, and when you find yourself stuck in the mud, you know what I mean? You're stuck in the mud here. Get that book out and start to say, thank you, Lord. You said this. You said this. You said this. You said this. And I thank you. And see, now I may start there in the natural, but boy, oh boy, I'm going to get over in the spirit sooner or later. Why? Because I'm getting my mind off of carnal things and over in the spirit. Because the word that he's spoken is spiritual. And I'm going to get over in the spirit. See, I'm speaking this. I'm trying to just stay on target here. Because so often, we get over in the natural looking at stuff. And I'm not saying we're to be irresponsible or not responsible. We're to look at things. But we are to do what? Trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean to our understanding. That's what we're supposed to do. Because if we don't, we are going to be unspiritual. Spiritual means keep your mind on the Word of God. Keep your mind on the promises of God. That's spiritual. Because if we don't, you're going to get stuck in the mud. And there's no peace. There's no life. You're burdened with your thoughts. And it won't change. And if you stay there, it gets worse. And then what happens? Just like you said, griping brings discouragement. And you start griping. Man, finally, boy, God, why'd you bring me to this job? I'm in Egypt. I want out of here. And you start griping. You start griping. I'm thinking about a young boy that used to work here. Scott Isabel. Some of you may remember him. He was a little 18-year-old, 17-year-old when he came here. He was on staff here at the ministry for a while. Left. But he bought a couple of businesses. He was doing that landscaping. He owned two or three landscaping businesses. He said it was the worst thing he ever did in his life, to leave this ministry. He said it was the darkest day I ever had. I got off thinking that I knew what I was doing and got over there running these businesses. And he was prosperous, but he was out of the will of God. So, when Pastor John Lipscomb was transitioning from earth to heaven, he attended to him and stayed with him. And when he was in hospice and he was leaving his body, he would be there every day, every day, every day, reading him scripture, just reading scripture. And Pastor John, he was funny. He was a funny guy. He led me to the Lord years ago, but back in 1978. But before he left, the last Wednesday I saw him alive, he was at a service here. And I was running sound, and I was running upstairs to put something away, and I hear somebody kicking the door. I mean, at the bottom of the stairs. Bam, 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 kicking the door. And I said, who's kicking the door? And I opened the door. It's Pastor John. He didn't say hello. He didn't say good evening, kiss my feet, hello, nothing. He just got right up on my face, just like this, with a real scrawly face and said, when are you going to start doing what you're supposed to be doing? And I said, and I knew, it was like a sword. Because I knew God spoke to me years ago that I'd be in ministry. And I said, well, when God sends the people to help me, that's what I told them. That was the truth. I said, I can't do that and something else. And God didn't make a way. So, but my point was, Scott, at that time, Pastor John said, okay, I want you to do this for me. I'm going to pay your way to Bible college and do that for me, and I'm going to pay it before I leave this earth. And he did. He paid his way to go to Christ for the Nations. And he went down there. And you think I'm going nowhere with this story, but I'm going somewhere. Anyways, somebody's saying, where is he going with this? I have a point. He was griping and complaining when he got down there to Texas. He said, I don't like Texas. I'm from the north. I hate Texas. What am I doing here? And I don't like going to Bible school and all of this. So he started to complain and gripe. And so, anyways, at the time, Mrs. Felix was alive. And she said, boy, you better be quiet and just do what God has told you to do. And so he had gotten a job in a cafeteria on the school grounds, and he was washing pots and pans, and he didn't like it. He's in there scrubbing pots and pans, and he's like, what is this? And so he stayed there. And the owner started to take a liking to him. And Scott was very business-minded, even as a young boy, owned his own companies. And so the owner took a liking to him and started to give him a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more. Besides washing pots and pans, he started letting him running the place over a period of a short time. And after a couple of years, about 3 or 4 years there, of course now he's graduated from Christ for the Nations, and he stayed there in the cafeteria. And the owner said, you know what? I want to retire. Sounds like Joseph. This was exactly the story. The owner said, you know what? I'm at retirement age. I don't want to do this anymore, but I've been watching you, and I'm going to give you this business. He gave him a multi-million dollar business. He signed it over to him, literally. Legally, he signed over the business to him, and he said, all I want you to do is take care of me the rest of my life. And he now has somewhere, I think he told me, because he thought it was owned by Christ for the Nations, it was privately owned. That's what I'm talking about. Don't gripe. Stay where you're supposed to be, and God will exalt you. And today, you know, I don't keep in touch with him that often, but the last time I did, he had about 40 or 50 employees, multi-million dollar business. He travels. He supports 4, 5, or 6 missionaries around the world through that business. And God had a purpose. And see, God was trying to exalt him. He just stayed steady. Didn't get frustrated and just quit and leave. He stayed there. But he kept spiritual and not carnal. It was through the help of other people, keep your mind on what God told you to do. Don't give up. Don't quit. Now, I didn't want to get off track here. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. We're talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, and do what? And rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." We're not to have confidence in the flesh. We're to have confidence in the Spirit. But as we were reading before, that from the Living Bible translation, it's by the Holy Ghost's help, by the Holy Spirit's help, that He's going to cause us to be more spiritual, to keep our mind on spiritual things. We have a choice to make, but He's there to help us. Keep your mind on spiritual things. Think about this. No, I don't want to think about that. I want to think about my problem. Well, then He's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. But you're being a meathead. That's a carnal person. You know what I mean by that? A meathead. So there cannot be true worship apart from rejoicing in Jesus. There cannot be true worship. If Jesus is not in it, it's not the real thing. Can't be. So, one of the things is that we're looking at here about the flesh, and it says here, we are to have no confidence in the flesh. That means, even if you've built this great business, or great ministry. You could be a pastor. You could be a bishop. You could be whatever title has been afforded you or you're using or walking in. You could have confidence in the flesh. Wrong. That's carnal and not spiritual. We are to have confidence in Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the confidence. It's the ground on which we stand. Faith is. And that confidence should be in God and His Spirit and the direction that the Spirit gives us. That's where our confidence should be, not in our own understanding, what we think we've built, what we have a claim to. So, that being the case, we are... Turn over, let me just switch gears here. Turn over to John 6:63. So the opposite of worshiping in the Spirit is worshiping in the flesh. See, if He says we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth, then is it possible to have something that's not genuine, that's carnal, that's fleshly? Is it possible to worship in the flesh? Yes. Can one pray in the flesh? Yes. Can some preach in the flesh? Yes. So, can we give in the flesh? Yes. So, some things can be done in the flesh. And one of the things, and that's we may pick up here on Wednesday, when we go, let me read this first in John 6:63. We know this particular scripture verse. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So it's the Spirit of God that quickens. He's the one that directs. He's the one that motivates. The flesh profits nothing. And that's what we just got done reading in Philippians 3, have no confidence in the flesh. So this says here, again, the flesh profits nothing. So what I was sharing before is that what we do in the Spirit, motivated by God's Spirit, is expressed through our body. But it's not fleshly if it's motivated by Him. You understand what I'm saying? It's His thinking, it's His direction, but it's expressed through this flesh body. That's not fleshly. But if it's my thinking, if it's my idea, then it is fleshly, not directed by Him. Then it is fleshly. And we shared these before. Anything that's in God's Word is spiritual. Anything in God's Word is spiritual. So we can see from that, love is spiritual. You walk in love is spiritual. Not about how you feel. God's Word concerning healing is spiritual. God's Word concerning prosperity is spiritual. But when we get over into thinking and looking at natural things, it's carnal. It is not spiritual. It is, if we're worrying about it, it is definitely not spiritual. It's carnal. Let's turn over just for a few minutes. I want to use this kind of as a jumping off point for Wednesday, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Kind of putting these thoughts together this morning here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You've heard this so many times. I know Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton shared this through the years because Brother Hagin taught it. That which is spiritual doesn't draw attention to that individual. That which is carnal does. It draws attention to them. That's not spiritual, that's carnal. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now my Bible, gifts is italicized, which means that the translators inserted that. So this really could read, now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, we're talking about the quickening of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, in some of the other translations, when it says spiritual, the Young's literal translation says, and concerning spiritual things. I like that better. And concerning spiritual things. What is he talking about? He's talking about, further down, he's talking about operations, administrations, manifestations of the Spirit. He's talking about spiritual things. Further down in the chapter, in the Holman Christian Standard, it says about matters of the Spirit. See? So we're talking about not gifts, we're talking about spiritual things. And those things he further elaborates on. So when we say here, if we're speaking by the Spirit, then Jesus is exalted. Not the individual. Jesus is exalted. And I want to kind of end it there. We're going to pick up so that we can highlight some points of this Wednesday and continue on the lesson. But true worship is by the direction of the Holy Spirit. He helps us. And it is spiritual in that He directs us to do what? Exalt God and Jesus. And it is not going to be carnal. It is not going to draw attention to any one individual, but it's going to exalt Jesus. Amen. That's true worship. And I know that, you know, and the wonderful thing here is that because we've experienced some things, through the psalmist's anointing with Pastor Clinton and with Brother Morris, when that office begins to operate, when that gift begins to operate, you take your eyes off of them. You don't even see them. You don't see them. Who do you exalt? You exalt Jesus. And that's how you know it's spiritual and not carnal. It's not entertainment. The focus isn't on them. And so often, Brother Morris, when I talk to him, he'll say, worship is vertical. It's not horizontal. We don't have our eyes on people. It's not horizontal. And that's why you can begin to see, Pastor Clinton was very attuned to it, music can draw attention to individuals. If it is, you begin to quit. He'd just say, look, it was just good entertainment. That's all. Wasn't anything spiritual. It was just entertainment. But spiritual music, you get your eyes vertical. You get your eyes on Jesus and not the individual. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to end there. I'll take two questions because it's late. If there is a question, otherwise we'll just unhook and we'll dismiss. If there are no questions, we'll just close. Because either you move, what did I say? You snooze, you lose. You move, you lose. All right? If you have a question, you don't have to sit there and think, let me see, you want to ask him a question or not? Done. Okay. Amen.